poteva avvenire il finale che the old assembly chamber would have been perfect for this kind of meeting. So even the one that we were at yesterday was not that bad. So let's try and see if we can get a much more suitable venue so that we are able to see everybody. Okay, you are all welcome to, as I said, to this portfolio committee meeting. We have decided that we must have a two-day hearing on the benefit sharing in the western boundary of the Kruger National Park. This is a matter that arose last year. Firstly, it was during our colloquium on captive breeding of lions. We had a presentation there where this matter arose, and we had subsequent meetings with the SANParks, where we discuss this matter, and we gave some directives which were being disregarded and actually were being ignored. Hence we decided that we must have this two-day inquiry. We decided that the agreements that exist currently must be reviewed, and we tasked SANParks to come up with a discussion document that was supposed to be presented to us as a portfolio committee in October last year, so that we can decide from that discussion document whether to follow the option of doing a hearing, or whether we should task SANParks to proceed with the agreement, negotiate with the communities, and ultimately to result in a dispensation that will become a win-win for everybody. So we learned last year, towards the end of the year, that there is an agreement that is about to be entered into, despite the directives of the portfolio committee on this matter. We had to do the last-minute intervention to plead with the management and the board not to proceed with the signing of that agreement until we have had sight of that agreement, until we have been taken on board as the portfolio committee, because this is an issue that was raised by ourselves from the beginning. So as I'm seated here, I don't know what has happened. I've not received any feedback whether the signing ceremony proceeded, or whether it was suspended, or what had happened. We don't know. We have not received feedback. And I don't understand why we had not received feedback in the first place. There are a lot of things that I don't understand why they are not happening in the manner that we've agreed they must happen. I don't know why there was no discussion document that was presented to us in October as we asked. We subsequently learned when we engaged with St. Parks with their annual report, we learned that there was an agreement. We asked that that agreement must be sent to us and we'd be briefed about it. That briefing never took place. We never had sight of that agreement despite commitments made that we'll receive that. There was a signing ceremony. We got alerted by one NGO, I can't remember which NGO was it. In fact, I thought when we received that letter, I did not really attend to it because I thought that that will never happen when we have got an understanding that we are going to be briefed first. Then we learned that there was a signing ceremony that was arranged. And then we had to call and ask and plead that it shouldn't happen. So as I said, I have not received feedback whether it has happened or not. But we nevertheless agreed that let's proceed with this inquiry so that we can then look into this matter and satisfy ourselves that the manner in which it has been proceeded with is correctly done. It's benefiting everybody, in particular the community. And all the things that we said must be complied with are being complied with. So I was quite disappointed with St. Parks because maybe we have been disregarded or being undermined because we always commend St. Parks when they come here to make presentations. We always said, no, keep up the good work, you are doing the good work. We are never critical of the work that has been done there. Maybe we have been taken advantage of the fact that we always took that kind of posture and therefore we can just be disregarded. So we are not starting on a very good note because of this background that I'm giving. But of course we'll receive the presentations and we'll get to understand where we are. We have invited the communities and community organizations to come and interact with us. We have invited the other stakeholders, the NGOs. I've asked our content advisor, Dr. Scottney, to prepare a program. I must say I've not seen this program before, but Dr. Scottney has been tasked to do that. So I hope that all the organizations identified are here and all the individuals. We're expecting have been invited. Okay, so we let's start with the apologies. I saw the apology of the minister The minister is attending a special cabinet, and tomorrow there's some other engagement, so she won't be with us tomorrow as well. Members, Honorable Steenkamp is not feeling well. Otherwise, all the members are here. Yesterday, we got apologies that some members are on their way. They will be arriving late from the airport. The plane never landed. The members did not pitch up. But I see almost all the members are here today. Except, of course, the EFF has not been attending for some time. I think it's about 6 months or so now. But all the members are here. So let me take this opportunity then to... I see on the program is the CEO, but as is the norm, the DG is here. You leading the delegation together with the chair. So let me hand over to the DG, and then the chair will then introduce the issue and hand over to the CEO.
Good morning. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Just to indicate that the Minister had apologized because there is a special cabinet today, and she has been advised of the presentations that Sempacs is making here today. And we certainly, Chair, want to also upfront indicate that there may have been some misunderstanding, and we understood that Sempacs was not intending to defy the portfolio committee. And the explanation during the presentation will show, and we are still willing to then get guidance from this committee by the end of the session tomorrow. And I hand over to the chair of Sempacs Board. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honourable Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. By way of starting, I'd like to also introduce my fellow board member, Mr. Lawrence Mokgakane, who's sitting on the other side of the CEO, who is also involved in the People and Parks process. So there are two of us here from the Sandparks Board. I think that we are grateful to the Portfolio Committee for this opportunity, and I would agree, Chair, that this should have happened before the end of last year. I think that on behalf of the Board and the Sandparks management, we really want to humbly apologize, I think, for the miscommunications and misunderstandings around this matter that took place at the end of last year. You did indeed speak to me. I was on my way to the airport to go to Poland, and at the point that this signing ceremony was scheduled. And the CEO, I think, will deal with that in detail, but just to say that we indeed have had a very good relationship with the Portfolio Committee and have received excellent advice and guidance from the Portfolio Committee, so it is a matter of considerable distress to both the Board and to management that we sit in this situation where we haven't found each other on a matter that is significant to the organization. So I think thank you very much for this opportunity. We're hoping that it will give the ability for all of us to be able to by the end of the hearing have a common set of information and be on the same page and be able to move forward together. And with that, I'd like to hand over to the CEO to take us through the Sandparks, presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think I should have asked for introduction before we get into the presentations, because I see there's some faces that are not familiar to us, guests, others may be from Sandparks, others from the community, others from the NGO, but I do see faces that I have not seen before. Some I might have seen at the colloquium, but I think it's just, it would be a good thing to do a round of introduction. Maybe starting from here, around the table, up to Honorable Makubele. Let's start with you.
Morning. My name is Lawrence Mwakani. I'm a member of the Sandparks Board and also the National Chairperson of People in Parks.
Morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Fundiselem Keteni. I'm the CEO of Sandparks. Chair and members, today we brought a bigger team of Sandparks because it's about consultation at the end of the day. What you have done, therefore I will request them, a number of them, to introduce themselves, their titles, as we move along. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm Joanne Yowich. I am the Chairperson of the Board of South African National Parks. Thanks.
Thank you. Nosipho Ncaba, I'm the Director General for the Department of Environmental Affairs. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members and guests. My name is Luthando Ziba. I'm the head of conservation at South African National Parks. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members, guests. My name is Marisa Katsia. I'm the General Manager, Conservation Management, Kruger National Park.
Honourable Chair and honourable members. My name is Shoni Munjezi. I'm with the Department of Environmental Affairs, responsible for ODDG for Biodiversity and Conservation.
Good morning, Honourable Chairs, Honourable Members and Guests. My name is Machtel Bosov. I'm from the Department of Environmental Affairs and with a component responsible for the Threatened or Protected Species Regulations. Thank you.
Do you have a designation, Madam? Or are just doing general things there?
No, Chair, I'm Deputy Director, okay. Policy Development.
Alright.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, good morning. My name is Korombi Matibe. I'm the Chief Director at the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me from here? good morning, it's Louise Duval. I'm working for EMS Foundation as a consultant.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Sharon Hausman. I'm Chairperson of Bululi Nature Reserve and founder, Bululi being a founder member of the APNR.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, guests. My name's Wayne Jackerman. I'm the chairman of the APNR, and I'm also the chairman of the Timbavati Private Nature Reserve.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Reverend Mark Clarkson. I represent civil society.
Good morning, Chair.
You represent which civil society?
The community. Thank you. I'm from the community.
I'd like us to be specific. Yeah? Just indicate I'm representing this community next to the Kruger National Park or where. Because when you say civil society, it's very broad. We'd like to understand your interest in the matter that we'll be discussing here.
I'm very interested in what's happening, especially in the Kruger National Park.
From which communities?
I'm from Cape Town, Western Cape.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. Glenn Phillips, Managing Executive, Kruger National Park.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Ike Patla. I'm the General Manager, Communications and Marketing in the Kruger National Park.
Honorable Chair, members, colleagues, good morning. My name is Nalinom Chongwana. I'm the Program Manager for the Kruger National Park Beneficiation Scheme Program.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Nicholas Wunder. I'm the Chief Ranger in Kruger National Park.
I'm part of the communication team of Tukumina.
Oh. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Paul Daphne. I'm Chief of Staff for the Minister of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning, Chair, Members, Colleagues. My name is Candice Ebb. I'm a Resource Economist with SANParks.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Boyce Wendy Bongo. I am Parliamentary Officer in the Office of the DG, Environmental Affairs.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Marissa Lowe, and I'm a director of Ban Animal Trading, an animal rights NGO.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. My name is Michelle Pickover. I'm the director of the EMS Foundation.
Hi, says good day, everybody. Honourable Chair, members. I'm Abdul Dayan, representing the National Youth Leader.
Representing, sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm representing the National Khoisan Youth League.
Okay, thank you.
Just press the mic. It's not working. Try the next one.
There. Good morning, everybody. My name is Winter Worthorn from Animal Talk Africa, and I'm here supporting the White Lion Trust and the communities around Kruger.
Ganges. Gangang. Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, my name is Chief Koma, representing the Khoisan Council of the Republic of South Africa and Southern Africa, Gangans, Tawede.
Okay, thank you.
I can't do that one. I'm the chair. My name is Colin Doyle. I'm a private sector tourism operator for 40 years and an ex-South African Tourism Board member.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Francis Garrard. I'm the Director of the Conservation Action Trust.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, guests, colleagues. I'm Jason Turner, Director of Ecology for the Global White Lion Protection Trust.
My name is Graham Sievert. I'm a sales agent for the Hot Group, which is distributes wildlife collars.
Good morning, everyone. My name is May Nodir. I'm a leadership coach and psychologist, and I've done a lot of work in the Acorn Hook area, and so I have a particular interest in it.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Linda Tucker, CEO and founder of the Global White Lion Protection Trust. We're here with a delegation, and that includes at my side Princess Kabelo Chiwani of the Molotele Nation, Prince Young Chiwani of the Molotele Nation, and the heads of the Acorn Hook Traditional Healers Association, that is Maria Solera and Bakwatia Magopani.
Okay. Next.
Good morning, Chair.
That one is Faith, is from communication. She's here to listen to us, and if we say something wrong, she will put it in the media. or something bright, you know.
Good morning, Chair, my leaders and guests. I am Smolden Tu, a member of the committee.
Good morning, Chair, guests, DG and Environmental Department. My name is Hilda Fangile Nyambi, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Honorable Chair, colleagues, members, compliments of the new year for everybody in the house. My name is Helen Kikana, member of Portfolio Committee of Environmental Affairs.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Stella Mabiga, the member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Russ Pedal, a member of the committee.
Sanbonani nonke, bonge hlalo, igama lam Thomas Hadebe, imemba ele Portfolio Committee Environmental Affairs. Ngiyabonga.
Morning to you all. I'm Zondi Silence Makuvele, a member of this particular Portfolio Committee.
And I am Philip Mapulani. I'm the chairperson of the committee. And Dr. Scottney is the that gentleman at the back there is Dr. Scottney Watts. He's a content advisor of the committee. The gentleman did come to me to clarify that indeed he's not from the Kruger National Park. He's a member of civil society based in Cape Town. The meetings of the portfolio committee are open, so anybody can come and listen. So he's here in that capacity. Okay, CEO.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chairperson, I listened carefully to introduction. Chair, I want to be upfront, apologize openly on what has happened. We will explain, Chairperson, ourselves as we present where we started, if there were any areas of miscommunication, Chairperson, who apologize. Chair, I also want to say yes, indeed, on the morning of the signing, you did call me, Chairperson. You spoke to me at length. You even sent me an SMS, Chairperson. I must say that I apologize, Chair, because I was not sure what type of feedback to give to you, Chairperson. Again, for that, I want to apologize. I must say, Chair, up front once again, there's no way we can disregard Parliament. There's no way we can undermine Parliament. Chair, in whatever has happened, with guidance from Parliament, as it happened before, we'll review areas that we have to review as well guided by Parliament. Therefore, Chairperson, I'm apologizing. I'm saying to Parliament, we can't undermine Parliament. We want to be always guided by Parliament. We always respect Parliament. Therefore, Chair, I want to apologize. Chair, if I may go to the presentation, the way we structured it, hence the bigger team of Sandbox here, is because I want to talk to the real rationale why we are doing what we are doing, why we are engaging stakeholders, why we want to regularize things in the western boundary of Kruger, even in other parks for that matter, Chair and Honorable Members. I'll talk to that. And Dr. Luthando Tsiba, who's the head of Conservation Services, will talk to the issue of ecological considerations, why particular parcels of land are part of the bigger landscape. Dr. Marisa Kutsiye, Chair, we'll talk to the consultation process since 2015. Yesterday, honorable members and chair, I was talking to the DG. You'll see I added the beneficiation scheme only yesterday in the presentation. Because DG wanted me also to talk to that. Again, that one is a separate process altogether, targeted to the people who have claimed the Kruger National Park. The broader agreement is for everyone, is all interested and affected parties, especially the communities abutting the park, because those are the major stakeholders. They are directly affected by the existence of the park, both positively and negatively. Those negative areas affecting them, we need to work with them, Chairperson. Therefore, the presentation is in three parts. I'll do the broader thing and the scheme, beneficiation scheme, and then Lutanda will talk to considerations. Marissa talks to the consultation. As we all know, honorable members and chair, that every conservation work in every state, it is indeed informed by local situations, by national considerations, by regional considerations, and by global considerations. After 1994, South Africa joined the global community, even in this sector. One of the biggest conventions, which is about biological diversity, that's what informs most cases what we call the Green Agenda of South Africa, which is terrestrial biodiversity, even the coastal one, which is the Blue Agenda. South Africa is a signatory, has committed itself to what we call Aichi targets until 2020. They will be reviewed, those targets, after 2020. What is core in the discussion about parks is that 17% of terrestrial area to be under conservation and inland waters. That's what parties agreed to do. I remember I led that discussion that time. South Africa was saying, as a developing state, can we reach 17%? But the parties agreed that each state party should always try hard to achieve the 17% of its terrestrial and inland waters. When it comes to coastal areas and marine, is 10%. All of that, to do it, is embedded in the strategy of South Africa to expand what you call the protected areas. If you look on the right column, it does try to unpack what that target 11 entails in terms of diversity, which is ecological representativity, effectively managing, and equitable managing of these areas. You can see at the bottom of the slide, those green areas are pillars of the CBD, which is conservation of biodiversity, sustainable use of biodiversity and its components, and also fair and equitable sharing of the benefits arising from that work. Chair, this slide could be familiar to the members. We are managing 19 national parks as SANParks, which is 4 million hectares in total. Kruger is 2 million. You have other 18 national parks, which are equally 2 million. We are managing 67% of the state-owned terrestrial protected areas. Because we have provinces, we have municipalities also managing. SANParks has got the mandate of managing 67%, of which we continue to try to grow. Kruger National Park was proclaimed in 1926. That time it was called Sabisense Game Reserve. 2 million hectares, which is 1,078 kilometer boundary that we're talking about. There's about 333 kilometer veterinary fence on the western boundary of Kruger, because there are issues of diseases, the foot and mouth, the corridor diseases. That's why there's a veterinary fence which is managed by the Department of Agriculture. There are 16 claimant communities. 7 of those, the claim has been settled. There's more still coming on board. Roughly more than 510,000 hectares of Kruger is under claim and has been settled. Hence, there's a separate beneficiation scheme for those claiming community. Share is also one area, there's one time we can come to Parliament for a specific discussion on the basic beneficiary scheme, what it entails. There's only one slide where I'll roughly talk to it, but we can come to Parliament with that specific one, Chairperson and Honourable Members. There are 7 community forums, 39 traditional authorities, 2 district municipalities, 9 local municipalities. There's also a biosphere reserve, Vembe and K2C, because as you conserve Kruger, Lutan will talk to that, you need to add other landscapes, topographical features to deal with issues of environment in that whole landscape, whether it's water, whether it's even agriculture, because agriculture is also key in terms of this landscape approach. There's also a great Limpopo Transfrontier Park between the 3 countries, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and South Africa. Therefore, there's a bigger landscape approach. Because of this history, including eviction, we had to relook at relationship. We had to relook at compliance issues. We had to relook at benefit sharing in the whole bigger landscape. The reason we're doing this, honorable members, it has come a long way. There has been questions over years and years and years. What is virtualizing dropping fences? What framework are we using? For me, Chair, it was chaotic from day one. Hence, the day we joined SEMPAX, we said from 2015, let us look at regularizing the whole western boundary. We are also doing the eastern boundary, by the way, between Mozambique and South Africa. But in the west, you talk of 2 million people abutting the Kruger National Park. There's no way you can ignore them, besides the claiming community. Hence, we had to start this process. Lutando will talk to this slide, but he'll also start from this one, and then we'll talk about the ecological considerations, and then I'll take over again. Over to Lutando.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. One of the key features of the Kruger National Park is the fact that as a national park, it is this long strip from basically south to north, but a very narrow strip. The map that you see there represents different vegetation types. I apologize because it is, you know, it's got a lot of detail, but we can share with members a bigger version of the map for future reference. What it represents is really the geological landscapes that underpins the vegetation of the Kruger National Park. And that, coupled with climate, influences the ecosystem types that are found within the park and in the surrounding areas. What is important is that in the South African National Expansion Strategy for Protected Areas, a number of key considerations are made around how do we then expand options for conservation in order to ensure that we protect as many plant or ecosystem types and plant communities as possible. And within the Kruger National Park itself, the options are limited for that expansion. But as you look to the west of the Kruger National Park, the southern part of the park is densely populated, so there is not much one can do. But as we go up, the third from the bottom of the national park, there's a wider range of options because of compatible uses. And these compatible uses include provincial nature reserves, private nature reserves, and community conserved areas, including land belonging to local communities. And in the expansion strategy, there's a lot of emphasis in looking at compatible land uses to ensure that we work with these land, with owners or landowners of landscapes that can be expanded and included into a broader conservation area, which we call the Greater Kruger National Park. And so if you look at the next slide, Chair, for instance, the first figure to the left shows areas or centers of endemism. And basically, these are areas with plant communities or ecosystem types that occur only in this area in the country. And these are areas that are quite important to conserve and inform them in the systematic conservation planning domain where you target your areas for your next expansion. In the middle, it's a slide that refers to value for supporting climate resilience. And again, there, like the options, given the fact that the bottom part of the park has got a high, residential area, that the options become more available in the areas that still have either wildlife conservation, livestock production, or other forms of land use that are compatible with conservation. So the product of a number of analysis, particularly from an ecological point of view, then yields the map to the right, which looks then at priorities from conservation plans. And the areas that have got dark green and light green are areas that are called key biodiversity areas or critical biodiversity areas, because those areas still contain relatively intact biodiversity and offer opportunities for collaboration with the private sector and with local communities in order to expand a conservation footprint in and around the Kruger National Park. So these considerations, Chair, are key considerations globally when it comes to options for expansion. For instance, if we look at the areas that are now being added through this agreement into the Kruger landscape, they represent about 360,000 hectares, which is basically land with our state budget for land acquisition. It would take us possibly 50 to 60 years to be able to have that kind of money to buy that type of land in this landscape. But because we have partners, including communities, traditional authorities, and the private sector, we are able to expand South Africa's conservation footprint in order to meet our targets for protected area expansion, as Mr. Nketeni has said. This work is not work that also can happen instantaneously. It is phased, Chet, in order to be able to ensure that, one, we start with the phase one, which is about regularizing the open conservation areas. And here the CEO will explain in detail later, but this involves ensuring that we have a shared vision of how these landscapes must be managed to ensure that we don't have a situation where land uses are not compatible with the conservation objectives. For instance, if you look on the western boundary, there's a lot of agriculture that takes place there. And the impact of of fertilizers, insecticides, and other products used in producing food have a direct impact on the Kruger National Park, because all our rivers flow from the catchments that are on the western boundary of the Kruger National Park. Some of the arrangements, for instance, that we have entered into with the agriculture community have helped to reduce, for instance, pollution in the streams that go through Kruger. And as a result, that is very good for freshwater biodiversity within the national park. We also want to, in the second phase, which is basically the phase that is being heralded by this agreement, expand the wildlife economy to include communities that were previously excluded from previous beneficiation approaches around the Greater Kruger National Park, collaboration. And broadly, this is all happening within a broader transboundary context of the Greater Limpopo Transfrontier Conservation Area, which includes Mozambique and Zimbabwe. And so this is a vision that is entrenched in a treaty that South Africa is a part of, and that we feel as SANParks we need to provide support through mechanisms such as these. Thank you very much, Chair. See you.
Thank you very much, Tendo. All of the members, we have looked at some of the agreements, the one with APNR. We also looked at the Mchechane one. Those that we have looked at, that were signed in the early 2000s, some later, where forces were dropped in support to improve ecological services that Utando has spoken about. There was also a need to promote what we call land use compatibility. If you achieve land use compatibility in a particular area, you avoid what we call conflicting land uses and what you also call human wildlife conflict. But it should include socio-economic outcomes, because if you talk national parks, it's an asset that should be a catalyst for economic development in the broader scheme of things. But those fences were dropped without an overarching Greater Kruger strategic management framework. Therefore, there are no consistent best practice guidelines. We had to look at those things. One example was one agreement where we had to say change things. We went as far as biting the bullet to say we're closing the bridge, but the bridge, the beneficiation is quiet on new entrants, on poor communities. As I indicated, it was silent on that. And what we call traditional lands were not part of the plan. You get traditional leadership, leaders, managing land next to Kruger. We don't see a plan for their inclusion. We don't see a plan of dropping fences for them to also access Kruger National Park. There were compliance challenges because there was no binding agreements, a bigger binding agreements. There were no frameworks to deal with issues of how to procure goods and services. Because in the same lodges, which are inside the park and outside the park, how do you procure goods and services? Do you procure from the local communities? Must there be any empowerment issues? What about joint marketing? What about beneficiation? I do not believe at this point that there were few people who were directly benefiting at the expense of the broader community. I made this example of us stopping some of the access to say this agreement is unfair for communities. I will request now on the purpose for the new agreement is in the concept document. We want to address participation. We want to address risks associated with cooperation of variety of entities with different legal frameworks, different business models, and different management approaches. We want to facilitate cooperation and collaboration, and also we want to capitalize on collective opportunities such as joint destination marketing of as a premier destination in order to bring on board benefits and also penetrate other markets. Chair and all members, I'll ask Marisa to talk now
to the cooperative agreement and issues of consultation, Marisa.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members, guests. So having given the background, basically on the 5th of December, 15 signatories to the cooperative agreement signed the agreement, agreeing to an overarching framework, and we will basically unpack what the principles and the key pillars to that is. What the map basically shows is that the entire western boundary from the north, which is your Makaleke Contractual Park, going down to Makuya, Kachana, areas further down south, Letaba Ranch, UAPNR areas, Malamala, Sabisa and Sultan Mangaliti, Lisbon, down to the Majajan, who are signatories to the agreement, which is basically allowing for the consistent management according to overarching principles and guidelines for the Greater Kruger area. I think what's very important, this is simply phase one of the picture.
So the agreement has been signed?
Yes, Chair. It was signed on the 5th of December with initial signatories.
So the signing ceremony proceeded, despite what we asked that it should not proceed.
Yes, Chair, it proceeded. Chair, we had to take certain factors into consideration because we're already on site. The stakeholders were there, Chairperson. And also, we are also avoiding a risk of embarrassing, Chairperson, all of ourselves. I didn't want Chairperson to be in a situation whereby even Parliament, because the media was there also, Chairperson, that we had to take into consideration. I also had some discussions, Chair, with the DG, with Sony, to say what risk are we facing. Therefore, Chair, out of that, we had to weigh the risk, Chairperson, of not signing whilst everyone was on board on the day, Chairperson. We had to consider that.
Yeah, we see we've got a big problem. And that's the point that I was making, that Sandparks, I don't know whether it's DEA involved, is undermining us here in Parliament. And I think you are showing us the middle finger. I don't understand why. I don't know what is the interest in this thing. We said, I think it was in September or August, that the discussion paper must be prepared and be sent to us by October. It was not done. We asked that, we were told late, I think was in November or so, that there is a draft agreement. It was actually even in this room when we were discussing the annual report. Once again we said, you are not supposed to do the draft agreement, you are supposed to do the discussion document. Then you said, okay, we thought that we needed to advance to a level of a discussion document, to a level of a draft agreement. Then we said, okay, it's fine, bring us the draft agreement, brief us on the draft agreement. We are waiting for the draft agreements to be briefed on. Then there is a signing ceremony that is arranged. we got to be told about that. We thought it's not something that's going to happen. Now, on the 5th of December, before anything was signed, I discussed with the CEO. I said, please don't go ahead. I discussed with the chair of the board. I said, please don't go ahead with the signing ceremony. Now, the ceremony proceeded despite all of these things that I've mentioned. And you are coming here, you are telling us that this thing was signed, you don't even see anything wrong with even sending us an explanation that we had to proceed. Had I not asked that this thing was signed, I was not going to get this explanation. The media was there. So if the media was there, it means that you have to undermine the commitments that you made to Parliament not to proceed with the signing. Just because the media is there and the people are there. Why is SANPARK acting like this? What is it in this thing that we had to proceed and disregard everybody, disregard whatever that we are saying here? Continue to sign. When we have said, when we have spoken to the chair, and I must say that I was not happy with my discussion with the chair. I was absolutely not happy at all. But of course, we did get a commitment that there was not going to be any signing. So I want to find out, DG, was it the department that said we must be disregarded? Because the CEO is mentioning the DG and the DDG. Was it the department or... There was a consultation, I'm told, with the department.
Chair, what I can report to the committee is that, yes, there was a call made to both the minister and myself. I was in the cluster meetings, after which I had the discussion, and I think it was already, the event was already underway. And the questions that were asked, I think Paul can also confirm in the discussions that happened between us and the minister, was the, what are the implications? Whether one did SANPARK, because we did not have the, I didn't have in hand what exactly the decision of the committee was. And we are probably speculating about that understanding. And what transpired was that SANPARK had submitted what was referred to as a concept document or a discussion document, as was required by the committee. And two, that SANPARK, they said that they had submitted the documents
to
after the committee. To the portfolio committee, that's what was communicated to us in the department. And we wanted that validated, and I think my office can just confirm whether those documents were submitted to the committee according to what was discussed at the committee meeting of August or September, I can't remember the dates. And secondly, Chair, we normally, even when we have to cancel the events, the question is what are the other cost implications? Because somebody would have to either explain a fruitless expenditure, because there were communities that were transported. That's what was given to us as a report in the department to attend the meeting or the event. And therefore, cancelling when you already have people on site became a question then of whether you can justify those costs. And that was the main discussion that happened.
between the department and MCN Parks, because the board is still the accounting authority. The department would not be responsible for accounting for fruitless expenditure.
Okay. Because as far as I was aware from my discussion with the chair, she was not aware of the signing ceremony.
Chair, on the 5th of December, I was on my way to the Climate COP in Poland. Therefore, on my agenda, I was not intending to attend any Sandparks events. I knew that there were plans for the signing ceremony in December, but because I was not going to be in the country, I was not meant to be in attendance at all. So when you phoned me, I was on my way to the airport. I then tried to phone the CEO, who was at that point in time uncontactable because he was on site in this process. So I think that it was, as I said earlier, it was a difficult situation. It was difficult to contact any of the Sandparks management because they were on site at the signing ceremony. We had agreed that it was a matter that would be dealt with by the Sandparks management, and given the circumstances that has been outlined by both the CEO and the DG, I think it was, we found ourselves in a situation where, as the board, the process was, at the point that we were discussing this matter with you, the process was underway. I think that we must also, our understanding was that the concept paper had been discussed, had been submitted to Parliament, and I think there was a genuine misunderstanding on the basis of the understanding that the requirement was to submit the concept paper and then wait for Parliament, for the briefing to be scheduled. So I think this is really an unfortunate miscommunication and misunderstanding, and as I said, there's no intention to deliberately mislead Parliament or to flout the wishes of the Portfolio Committee. I think the way this happened was, I think, difficult for everybody to manage, and perhaps the judgment calls that were made in retrospect were not the correct ones, but I think they were made in good faith.
CEO.
Chairperson, with your permission in Parliament, let me also give some context between August up to the date of signing. Chairperson, were invited by Parliament to a colloquium in August. During the colloquium, we were discussing that time, Chairperson, the handing of the lion. And then, Chairperson, in my presentation, I said there are bigger things than just a lion. We are discussing a bigger agreement. I even went as far, Chairperson, requesting Parliament, why not public hearing? My comment that time, Chairperson, was based on the handing as an issue. Parliament indeed did say we will consider that. We came back again, Chairperson, for our quarterly reporting, where I did mention the 5th in August. You said you want a broader discussion. We came in October again, Chairperson. In my presentation of the APP, I did mention the same bigger agreement. That time, Chair, I was even reporting the approval of a management plan. If, Chair, you don't mind, if you look at this slide, the whole process started in 2015, what you call regularizing. That's why we're talking to the bigger issues of the Western boundary. Management plan, because of the Act, its term expired. We had, whilst we were busy with that, to start with the management plan. Therefore, we ran these processes parallel, Chairperson. The plan was finalized and signed, Chairperson, and the broader agreement, Chairperson, was due to be signed in December in terms of the plan. Parliament engaged, as Chairperson as we indicate, only in August on this. We have already gone far advanced that time. Even the concept itself, if you look at the chair that we submitted 12th of November, it's clear it was talking about the work already done, which was halfway, Chairperson. Chair, where I also missed the point, I'll apologize, was that we cannot sign until we brief Parliament. But I remember, Chair, you said clearly, you must come here and brief us. Therefore, Chair, I remember on the resolution. That's what I think, between August and December, something will go well in the communication and our process, Chairperson. Hence, I'm giving this context from August, from the Lyon discussion, coming as in October here, presenting our APP, mentioning the plan and the agreement, and up to the signing. Chair, what I would have perhaps appreciated was for us to be called between the October APP and perhaps late November to come and present to the committee. Chair, that was my understanding. Once again, Chairperson, I apologize for what has happened.
Okay. There's a... Is it ready, Chilek? We need a lot of set up. So we can set up the... so we can delay. Okay. All right, the room is ready at the old assembly chamber, but we're just going to delay a bit. Maybe about an hour, and then from there we'll move that side. Is it fine? Yeah, in an hour's time we'll move to the old assembly chamber. Okay, I just had to interject the presentation because you were confirming something that we didn't have the information, and it was not even explained that there was a, you proceeded with the signing despite us being very clear that you should not proceed with that signing. So I'm going to, I see members want to make suggestions about how we should proceed. But I thought that is an issue that we needed to attend to. Firstly, CEO, the chronology of events you are putting is incorrect. It's utterly incorrect and you know it. We had a special session where we discussed this, the matter of the shooting of, what was that lion called? Sky. We asked Dr. Pinnock to come and present, and we asked Mpumalanga to come here and present, and it was in that meeting where we had Mpumalanga, we had Sandparks, where Mpumalanga and Sandparks were responding to the issues that were raised by Dr. Pinnock. And after that meeting, we resolved, we even issued out a statement. We issued out a statement, we're talking about the TOPS regulation in our statement, and I'm going to ask that the Faith must make that statement available to everybody. We spoke about the TOPS regulation and we're saying because there was some issue that was raised in our meeting that the NCOP process was not finalized in terms of making sure that the TOPS regulations are applicable to all the provinces. And therefore there was an argument in Mpumalanga that it's not applicable to them because the NCOP process was not finalized. And the issue there was around using baiting as a form of hunting, which was prohibited by the TOPS regulation. But in Mpumalanga it was allowed. So in our media statement we addressed that issue. We said the department must proceed regularizing that process, but in the meantime, no other province must use baiting as a form of hunting. It's in our statement. The second issue that we address in our statement, we address it very comprehensively, is this issue of benefit sharing in the western boundary of the Kruger National Park. It's us who raise this issue. It's in a statement that we issued. And we did say there must be a discussion document which must be sent latest October, where we will discuss whether should we go the route of a public hearing or whether we should go the other route of allowing St. Parks to negotiate with the owners there of the private reserves and then finalize the agreement. Now, we never received that agreement, that discussion paper. It was never brought to my attention. I never received that. None of the committee members have received that discussion document. The second follow-up we had with St. Park was when St. Park were in this very room, when St. Parks was presenting the, I think it was a quarterly report, in this very room, where we were told that, in fact, the agreement, there is a draft agreement. You can go to the records. I did say we were not expecting you to proceed to the level of the draft agreement. We're expecting you to draft a discussion document to come to the committee to brief us, and the committee was supposed to decide which way are we supposed to go. But I did say, nevertheless, now that you have proceeded to this stage, don't proceed any further, because we were told about the 5th. We said, leave the 5th. Don't go ahead with this thing of rushing to sign something that we don't know about. Take that draft agreement, let's schedule a session, come and brief us on it. Because from where we are sitting, we're still about to decide whether we do a hearing or we don't do a hearing. We'll just check the date. Doc, please check the dates for us. The manager of Kruger even came to me after the meeting. Must I send you the agreement? I said, no, don't send the agreement. Come and brief us on the agreement. We'll give you the date. Because when you send it to me, it's bulky. I will still have to send it to all the other members. We will schedule a date that you will come and brief us. And then later we learned that there is a signing ceremony there. We picked up the phone. We said, no, but this is not how we have agreed. This is not even your matter. This is something that was raised by us, that there must be a review of that agreement. We must present it to us. We must decide what approach are we going to take. We said to the CEO, please don't proceed. He said, fine. We said to the chairperson, don't proceed. The chairperson was on their way to the airport. We sent a written communication, the SMS, who said, don't proceed. And then we are told today that the agreement has been signed. Now, that is the proper chronology of things, and I think we must get the documents. Now, the question for me is, why rush this thing? Why disregard everybody? Why just rush, steam ahead, and go and sign something that we don't know about? and you want to come here and apologize. Apologize for what? Because you did sign knowing that we don't want you to sign. We actually said to you, please don't go ahead and sign that agreement. Until we have this kind of a meeting where we are properly briefed on the contents, how the community is going to benefit, how is it going to be structured, this issue. Now, I'm going to check if members have got something to say on this, and then we'll determine the way forward. Khadef?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to get some clarity here, because I've got two documents in front of me. Are we talking about cooperative agreements or benefits agreements that were signed on the 5th of December? I think that would clarify the whole issue. If it's cooperative agreements, it includes five key things, which is governance, environmental management, social economic benefits, where this is where these benefit sharing agreements would come from. And then it also includes safety and security and land inclusion. So which animal are we talking about? It's cooperative agreements that we signed on the 5th or benefit sharing agreements that we signed on the 5th? Because the whole issue is about, if it was the benefit sharing agreements that we signed on the 5th, that's where the chair is having a problem. I think we need to have clarity on that issue. Then all the questions in Herman is on your response. Thank you.
I think we need to be reminded what the APP targets were. So if someone could remind us. I don't have that in front of me.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps we're going far. I thought there's clarity on what was discussed on the date of the signing. And I don't think there's an issue between Sunparks and the discussions with the chairperson on whether there was need to sign or not. I don't think there's an issue there. The issue is from the side of Sunparks in terms of the issues and the department, it's the considerations they made. Not that they shouldn't, not on the actual issue whether they needed to sign or not sign. I don't think there's an issue. But Chair, what I wanted to say is, for me, there's an issue on what do we do when there's an element of defiance. I think the issue is there. Whether the processes according to Sunparks were well run and so on, consultations done and everything, when there's some misunderstanding between us and any entity, emerges like this, what do we do? To me, that's an issue that needs to be handled. But what I wanted to suggest for now, Chair, was that before we go on condemning and so on and so on, what Sunparks did, I wanted us to allow them to make presentation and finish with their presentations. We run with the program, park the matter for now, come back to this issue in terms of what they signed for and why went ahead, even as the indication was that they needed not to sign before we understood ourselves, the concept paper that was going to inform our interaction with communities in the event we wanted communities to participate in terms of what agreements they need to agree and cooperate around. Because that was a frustration on the part of Sunparks, to say communities are not quick to want to sign these things. There are many various interests. And we said perhaps we will go there and run public hearings ourselves so that we are able to fast track this particular signing. So let's, in my view, Chair, park it a little bit before the emotions run very high. Park it a little bit. Let's allow presentation to run and be finished, and we'll get back to the actual issue. At that point, we'll look at the whole issue holistically, because we'll know what they signed for and so on and so on, what it entails, if they'll go into that content, and we'll know where we stand. And like it was said earlier, if there's a need for renewal and so on, they would advise accordingly. But we'll include that as part of our condemnation of the act that happened on that particular day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, members. I think as the WIP is suggesting, let's allow St. Parks to proceed with the presentation, and then at the end we will then have our discussion. The question I think that we still have to discuss among ourselves and probably get some opinion is what do we do as a portfolio committee when we are defied, when there is deliberate defiance of the portfolio committee? What power do we have as Parliament to act when you say this thing must happen, it doesn't happen? Deliberate defiance. So I guess we'll come to that. For now, let's allow you to proceed, giving us whatever what is remaining there. The presentation, and this matter will come back to it. I think I would want us to gather some more documentation, and so that we are not being misled, because what the CEO was doing was seeking to mislead the committee when the committee is aware of its own meetings and its own decisions. So please go ahead and talk to other issues there that you're busy with.
Thank you very much, Chair. Marissa was still talking to this lecture on consultation. I would like each person and members to proceed from there, and then I'll come in again. Marissa.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, guests. I think what's very important is that I'll try my best to give as much as possible context and background in terms of what consultation was done, what are the future consultation processes and with whom, and what could still be influenced in terms of the landscape. I think what is very critical is that the current slide that's up there basically shows the parties that signed the agreement on the western boundary, and we'll start to unpack that a bit more from the north to the south. But I think what's very important is in the timeline of consultation, I'll just briefly indicate also the processes on the eastern boundary with Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and how that's being reflected in the Kruger Management Plan. What is very critical, this is a cooperative agreement. So the entire negotiation consultation is around cooperation, around various issues, and to look at consistent management within the entire landscape. If we go to the next slide, just to explain what is the meaning of the timeline. As the CEO indicated, different concurrent processes took place during, from February and January 2015. And I'll just quickly brief what those processes are, what was the context, and what is the way forward. In terms of the Kruger National Park, we've got the land claim beneficiation scheme, which is coordinated through the project management unit. For then 15 land claiming groups, it's now 16 land claiming groups for 26.6% of the Kruger National Park footprint, looking at specific preferential opportunities as informed by the Cabinet Note of 2008. That process then is looking into beneficiation within the Kruger National Park, but also outside the Kruger National Park. Hence, making it very important to understand what is happening outside the Kruger National Park, inside the Kruger National Park, and how do we leverage partnerships to deliver on that beneficiation. At the same point of time, around February 2015, we initiated a broader process, and it's facilitated by the United Nations Development Programme, the Global Environmental Facility Programme for Protected Areas, which is a global initiative in support of the IUCN targets to attain a 17% expansion, but also to look at the protected area management effectiveness. And within South Africa, there's basically five clusters being supported, including the Greater Kruger. I think what's really important is that process basically tries to expand areas under conservation, especially community areas. It regularizes areas that it meets the legal framework. It means that they also need to deliver on socioeconomic benefits, and that they actually should be having management plans, and that we should be in the position to audit those areas. A second component around that was that areas adjacent to national parks called the buffer zone — we don't want to use the word buffer zone, the integrated land use zone — need to integrate with sectors and be regularized into your planning instruments for the National Development Plan, Provincial Growth Strategy, and then lastly, to expand on the socioeconomic opportunities linked to the protected area network. The purpose around that program in the landscape of the Kruger meant that we had to join hands with Mpumalanga and Limpopo, different agencies, NTPA and the DET, National Biodiversity Institute, private community lands, state and areas, NGOs, and in that process a concept was developed, simply because the landscape is so large. It's not only the 2 million hectares, it's adjacent areas, and the departure point was going to be critical. What do we support, what do we address in order to deliver on the IUCN standards? In that process, a risk assessment was done to understand what is the land audit issues, land tenure, are we delivering on the socioeconomic framework, and are we meeting the legal framework. And to be very honest, it was 20 years where parties didn't keep abreast of the legal framework. We had a lot to catch up, and through the program funding, we got a resource economist to support the process. A risk assessment was done on issues around safety and security, land audit, socioeconomic aspects, and a range of other interventions that we had to address. It's not only one intervention, it's a basket of issues that we had to address, and one of the tools is through the management plans. In 2017, Kruger then started with the desired state, and it means basically how Kruger will manage their relationships in the broader environment and their mandate for the next 10 years. And through the public consultation process, key areas were identified. It was incorporated and taken back in 2018, and I'll explain who was consulted. But we basically had 54 stakeholder workshops, 5,762 participants, 583 written inputs, and through that process it identified additional issues that we had to address in addition to the regularization process that started in February 2015. Out of that entire approach, we then identified what is the range of issues we need to do in the next 10 years to make sure there's resources, capacity, and consultation. One of the key issues is in 2018, we got Fair Trade Tourism to develop consistent standards for the Greater Kruger area, which will be linked to other areas bordering the Kruger National Park. But then one of the key issues was also to develop a cooperative agreement. It's not a co-management agreement, it's a cooperative agreement on five areas of important areas, safety and security, governance, socio-economic development, further land inclusion, and conservation matters. And within that, it then said different tools need to be developed in the next few years, a beneficiation scheme, safety and security, different measures. But it was basically to get everyone on one page to agree to move forward. The process that we need to start now in 2019, and we've secured funding through the United Nations Development Program, is really to develop a greater Kruger Strategic Development Framework, simply because we need to manage the protected areas as embedded in the broader landscape, livestock areas, municipal areas, community areas, to ensure sector integration, and what's very important, to constitute our park fora. How do we collaborate with communities? What is the value add to be done? So that is a process that will take place over the next 10 months, also to develop further tools to inform the cooperative agreement signed. In the management plan consultation process for the Kruger National Park, that becomes our vehicle to commit the resources and capacity for the cooperative agreement, but also then for a range of other technical partnership agreements. We had a process in 2017 and again in 2018 that went to 10 local areas in the buffer. It started in the north, Mutale, Mapopi, Malumulele, going all the way down to Palaborwa, Hoedspruit, Eikenhoek, Nkomasi areas. And we also consulted in 5 metro areas through 39 traditional authorities and written inputs, but also because there are key issues that were identified through the initial risk assessment, focus groups which were dealing with very thematic specific issues to inform the strategic and operational aspects in any agreement that we sign in the future and implement, included from conservation to tourism to safety and security aspects, research-related aspects, biospheres, etc. All of those aspects were considered, incorporated in the management plan, and through the management plan, then a set of tools were identified to expand and to regularize the relationship, not only for the conservation areas open to Kruger, but for the broader sector integration, considering the catchment services, municipalities, and traditional authorities. Going back just to phase one, which is simply to regularize the existing relationship according to the IUCN standards, the 15 areas that signed, including Kruger National Park, included from the north the Makuleke Contractual National Park, the Ledet Manager areas, Makuya, Tarbrands, Mutukulu, your OPNR complex, which is basically 5 reserve areas, private reserve areas and some community-owned, state-owned areas around the Manuleti, Sabi Sands, Volden, Malamala and Mijijan. In the process, and it was a negotiated process over the past 3 years, it was agreed to work according to consistent standards and best practices and through consultation develop all those tools to implement. Unfortunately, this slide, something happened with the slide, but it shows on the left the representation, Kruger National Park representing 84% of the 2.3 million hectares, more or less, of this Greater Kruger parties. And then to the right, what the slide shows is out of that 2.3 million hectares, 235,301 hectares is private owned and private managed, and currently 119,000 hectares is community owned with the potential to further expand in a phased approach. Out of the entire 2.3 million hectares, 2 million hectares is currently managed through the state.
Quickly, Chairperson, honourable members, we're just showing here old agreements, what we're focusing on, the new agreements. It's just to highlight the comparison. If members read what has been attached in the back, you can see some components that were missing in the past. Therefore, this slide just tried to show that. What are the considerations here we're talking about? The area we're talking about, poverty and unemployment is very high. There are declared poverty nodes around this area. Access to services is poor at times because of the pressures on water and other things. And then it does lead to unhappy neighbors. People don't want unhappy neighbors. On the left, we're just showing some of the media reports we're getting around tourists vowing not to come to Kruger again. Some of the threats happening to the rangers because people remain unhappy. Next slide. Lieutenant will talk quickly to this slide. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. What we wanted to show briefly in this slide is the economic impact of the Kruger National Park as a catalyst for economic development. As a conservation area, Kruger represents what we can consider a public good contributing to conservation. But it creates a lot of jobs, and broadly, like the economy of that broader Kruger area is about the economic contribution of the broader Kruger area is about 6.6 billion rand, and that was studied down in 2016. And the multiplier effect included, it creates over 23,000 jobs. And there is a significant part of that comes from associated private nature reserves that are part of the greater Kruger. And we believe that communities and community land around the Kruger Park can also benefit from participation in this economic opportunity that is created or catalyzed by the existence of the Kruger. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And members, what is the value of the cooperation? I think it does come up with an integrated conservation management and a developmental approach. It creates partnerships. It also, in pursuit of an inclusive growth, it unlocks sustainable economic benefits for communities adjacent to park and the development of local communities. It's a uniform approach and socio-economic appreciation for the open system of Kruger. It does enhance the landscape level ecological issues to protect, to promote compatible land uses. On the beneficiation, I said is one area that is a scheme that is being negotiated with the claimant communities where an agreement was signed to settle the land. The ease of equity, they are getting 10% free equity on new businesses in the park. In the new Skukuza lots that is being finalized now, they'll be getting 10%. A levy on education, a share in optimization of activity offerings, 5% from game sales, preferential procurement, preferential jobs. This is a scheme for claimant communities. Even the scheme, one of the measures, is ready, is in the final stages of being negotiated with the beneficiaries, with the land claimants. On the way forward, we are saying outstanding issues can now, outstanding partners must come on board, but not everyone is signed. People are still raising concerns, but we're saying they must come forward and sign. A rollout plan, an implementation plan, needs to be developed by parties. Here we talk about actual transacting in terms of beneficiation scheme, because the plan is cooperative agreement, but transacting in terms of business, procurement, it should be done by parties because they do have a framework now. Active facilitation of community participation and beneficiaries is critical. Here, all the members were saying there are key departments who should be doing this work because the framework is there. those business will come on board now to facilitate communities around the parks in order to benefit. We did Chairperson Motivate for letters last year already when we finalized the management plan for some element of provincial buy-in, because we see Kruger as an area to play a big role in the two provinces of Limpopo and Mpumalanga. Therefore, we have attached that correspondence in that regard. That's the last slide, Honorable Chair and members. Thank you very much.
The beneficiation scheme of slide is not part of the pack. We will request that it's given to the members through you.
Okay. Yeah, can it be distributed to members? The slide that was not in the packs. I think we will have to adjourn now and go to the old assembly chamber and then take further presentations. Okay, man, I had that.